Ker Rav Shem, Rav Shem in the Beis Hillel Amekel.
So
there's a Fakir from over here. Rav Nachman is the one who's saying Pshat in our Mishnah that the issue that's debated here between the Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is whether you hold from this din of Muktzah or not. And Beis Shammai Amekel, like Rav Shimon, and Beis Hillel is Machmel like Rav Yudah. And all of a sudden, Rav Nachman, the same Rav Nachman, changed the Girsa of Masechet Shabbos. What did he change the Girsa for? It reads better the way the old Girsa was. That's the Gemara's Kasha. And for the Gemara, that's where we left off last week. Okay, now we're ready to start the Shin. Everything was just a Hakdama. Now we're up to where we left off last week. So the Gemara answers a startling answer. The Gemara answer is very startling. There were Takatutra, it's a little unclear. Shammai and Hillel lived 100 years before the Churban Bais Shem. Bais Shem was destroyed in year 70. That's how we usually assume, year 70. So the Gemara says, 100 years before, the Gemara says in the first paragraph of Shabbos, 100 years before the Churban Bais Shem, that's when Hillel and Shammai lived. And after they passed away, there was a Beis Hillel and a Beis Shammai. That was going on for a long time. Rabbi Yehuda Rav Shimon, that was way later. That was quite a while later, after the Churban Bais Shem. So, by the time it came, the generation of Yehuda Rav Shimon, they had already forgotten who said which way. Whether Beis Shammai held from the Yes Muktzah, or the Beis Hillel held from the Yes Muktzah. They knew there was some kind of dispute, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and they forgot which way it goes. So the Gemara says, we make a compromise. Shabbos, the Dinam HaBeri Chomur, so the people are going to observe the Hilcha Shabbos. They know everything is Osir until proven Mutter. Yontav is usually fakir. Everybody's carrying their baby carriages, and everybody's cooking, and everybody's doing all kinds of things, and they're a little bit mezalzel because they do more than they're allowed to do. They carry things in their pockets. That's mamish shalot tzarich klal. So on Yontav, because there are so many heterim, zeichel nefesh, machshir eichel nefesh, tzarich yom tzas. There's so many heterim, so we're afraid that people are going to do too many carry. So it's kedai to introduce a little more chumrah, to be machmer a little bit more. So that's what the Gemara presents over here. That the Hilchos Shabbos there's no need to be machmas so much. So that's why in Masechet Shabbos, Rav Nachman presents it. The din is going to be like the Bisil. Whenever you have a machleket b'sham and Bisil, the din is like the Bisil. The Gemara has there only 24 cases where we pass them. There were many, many disputes b'sham and Bisil. So there were, in the first parak in Shabbos, there's a mission that there were Yutches Zover. There were 18 Zeres. One day, like in Congress, they sometimes, one day, the Beis Shammai outvoted, there was the majority, usually the Beis Hillel in the majority. So one day they locked the doors and they said, okay, we're going to have a vote, and they ran through 18 things, a modern story, the Gemara says. And they put a sword in the door of the Beis Medrash, and he said, no one's allowed to go in, no one's allowed to go out, whoever goes out, we're going to kill him. So modern Yerushalmi, we don't know what was going on over there. So they ran through 18 Zeres, and that Taloch is like the Beis Shammai on the 18 Zeres. And then Tesis points out in Sukkah and Dav Gimel, they quote from the Siddur of Amam Goyen, that in addition to the 18 halachas that we paskin, the Yudches Dovod, the Yudches Gzeres, there are another 6 gemaras scattered around Shas, where we also, another 6 cases, where we also paskin like the Beis Shammai. How many strings do you have in the tzitzis? We have 8 strings in the tzitzis, and so on, instead of they still have less strings in the tzitzis. Different things by Sukkah, a couple of things by Sukkah, there's Machlegi B'Sham Yisrael. So you have those 6 cases that the Siddur of Rambam Goyen collected, and the 18 from the first Perek in Masechet Shabbos. 18 and 6 is 24. So there's only 24 cases where we pass from like the Beis Shammai, and all the other disputes, which are many, more than 24, the din is like the Beis Hillel, and we totally ignore the Beis Shammai. So that's what the Gemara says over here. Rav Nachman wanted the Mishnayos to read in such a way that the din is going to be like the Beis Hillel. So in Masechet Shabbos, he felt that it's not necessary to be machmir so much in Hilchos Shabbos. The people are medaktik, from a yidin. They're observing Hilchos Shabbos. So there we follow the Ikar HaDin, which is like Reb Shimon. That all of these added chumras of muktzah, you don't have to observe. But in Yonta, because the people are mezalzel, and in Yonta, because there's so many haterim, there's heter achol nefesh, and tzorach hayom ktsas, and machshirin, and so many haterim, so people take liberties, they're a little too mezalzel. So that's why the Mishnah was so saying that the Beis Hillel hold like Rav Yudah that you are machmer in the
muktzah
on Yontif. That you're machmer by the muktzah on Yontif. That's the way it sounds from the Gemara. You split.
On
Yontif, not allowed to. No, not allowed to. That's what the Gemara seems like it says. that on Shabbos, when you finish eating the chicken, and you had left bones at a roi l'machal akel, if some people chew up the bones, even the dog wouldn't want to eat it, so then it's mamish muktzah. But if they didn't chew up the bones,
shells from the nuts.
Shells, yeah. Let's say shells from the nuts or shells from the eggs. There are some animals in the zoo who would eat the shell, but if you don't live near the zoo, then it says in Shulchan Aruch that it is muktzah. I personally, we don't have a dog in our apartment, but there are people in my building who do have a dog, or you live in a private home. Down the block, there's somebody who has a dog. So dog bones are not muktzah in the whole area. Unless the whole area, there are no dogs. If there are no dogs in the whole area, then the dog bones will be muktzah. Also, it says, whatever is Michael HaKelev or Michael HaKhasul, since Klovim and Chasulim are common, so that's not called muktzah, even though you personally don't have a dog or a cat. But whatever is a Michael from an exotic animal, elephants eat this, and rhinoceroses eat this, so if you live near the zoo, okay, so it's Michael. So it's Michael Bain, so it's not muktzah. If you don't live near the zoo, then it is going to be muktzah. Yeah. So the simple pshat in the Gemara is like that, that on Shabbos, when you finish eating the chicken, and you're left just with the bones on a Michael HaBeimeh, so on Shabbos, we're makel that they're not muktzah. So you're permitted to take the tray, permitted to take the dish to the garbage, and push it off with a fork or a knife, either pick it up with your hands if you want to, or push it off, that's not an easy, it's not muktzah. But on Yontif, it sounds from the Gemara that then it would be muktzah. You're not allowed to push it off. You're not allowed to pick it up with your hands. You're not allowed to push it off with the fork and a knife. You have to take the tray and then shake it off by the garbage, shake it off. And that's not called tilta muktzah. As long as you're not pushing it, that's called tilta muktzah min atzad. As long as you're not picking it up with your hands, you're not pushing it with a fork or a knife, so that's not a violation of tilta muktzah. I last week, someone asked the kasha, a few people asked the kasha, so how can you carry the tray? Shouldn't the tray be a basis l'dava ha'atzur? If you say that on Yontif the bones are muktzah, because it started off as Michael Adam, Shinishtan Ali as Michael Adam, that's called Neulad, so that's muktzah. So let the tray be a basis of Davar Asr. So I can even carry the tray. So Tosis asked that kasha. Tosis, all the Rishonim asked the kasha on Beis Amar Aleph. So Tosis has a few answers. So one answer they say is that Abed Tam Shita Masecha Shabbos is that something is only a basis of Davar Asr if you plan to leave it there for the whole duration of Shabbos. But over here, no one plans to leave the bones on the plate for the whole duration of Shabbos. Of course not. So that's one explanation that Tosfos says. Maybe that's the reason why it doesn't have, why the tray doesn't have the status of basis l'davaros. Then Tosfos gives other answers also. It's not a basis l'davaros. Basis l'davaros is like this here, a cash register. Cash register, that's what it's meyuchad for. So you have money on the cash register, so that's a basis l'davaros. A person has a jacket, he has a pocket, so he leaves money in the pocket. So if he only forgot the money in the pocket, he doesn't really plan. He doesn't want to leave it there. That's a person who forgot. He came home right before Shabbos and he's getting dressed. He starts taking off his vachadikah clothes and putting on quickly. He runs to shul. He forgot his wallet right on top of his pillow. So the Mishnah says, the Gemara says in Shabbos Shocheah, if he forgot it, it doesn't become a basis davaros. Only if it's minir. Only if he put it there on purpose. You have to put it there with the intention. This is where I want it to be. What, he leaves the bones on top of the plate? He wants to have a kovadik and mokum yuchas for the bones? He's not interested in a mokum yuchas for the bones. So Taisus and other Hashem say, that's like shocheah. That doesn't count. That's not. Or there's a Gemara in Beitza like this. Let's say I invite a goy to my home on Shabbos and Yontif, and I give him a drink of wine. So I give the wine to the goy. So the minute he picks up the wine, he starts touching it, drinking it. So he makes it asur b'ano. The nocher drinks it all up. So there's going to be a drop of wine left. I leave over a little wine. I have a droplets of wine. So the droplets of wine that are left in the dirty cup are asur b'ano. Stam yenim is like yainesach. It's asur b'ano. Midi rabbana. Yainesach is asur minatayim, and stam yenim is asur rabbana. So the Gemara says, "Takasha, so how can I take the cup to the kitchen, wash it out?" It's the chabosis l'davar ha'asur. So the Gemara says, "What are you talking about? What? Chashivas? He's going to throw it out in the garbage. That's chabosis l'davar ha'asur. It doesn't become. Let's say you have a chabosis l'davar ha'asur or l'davar ha'mutar. You have a table and have the candles and have the chalas and have the plates and have svarim and have benchalach and everything." So if you have a table which is a basis of davar asur or davar mutar, if the davar mutar is as chashuv or more as the davar asur, so then it doesn't become a basis. So the Gemara says, "Hu adinami, I have a cup that's only a basis of davar asur. All it has in it is muktzah. But the mukta is a piece of junk garbage, and I'm going to throw it as the leftover shiori hakoses. The leftover stamienim after the guy finished drinking, and he yasid the maga. He yasid because his lips are touching the wine. So he yasid it, so the leftover wine is also ban also. The Gemara says, that has a chashivas, the leftover wine is going straight in the garbage. It has no significance at all. You don't even have to have the dover amutter to cancel the status of bosses dover os. Even if it's only bosses dover os, it doesn't count as nachshivas over here. So that's what many rishonim say over here also. What, he's interested in having a mokka miyuchad for putting the bones? Nah! He finishes eating the chicken, so he leaves the bones on the plate. Then he has the other courses on the plate. So he eats, he has a little kugel, and he has some vegetables. If he eats up all the vegetables, in the end, it turns out that all he has left is the chicken, are the chicken bones. That's like shocheach. That's not meniach. He put the bones on the plate, adaita, amokam chash. Nah! It turns out after he finishes eating everything else on the plate, all that's left. That's how it turned out. It has no chashivas, and he wasn't really interested. So that's what all the Rishonim say. In such a case, the plate doesn't become a basis of davar. If there is a din, if you have, let's say you have a dirty diaper, you diaper the baby. So that's the chmamish garbage. So that's the original muktzah. That should be l'choladeis muktzah. So whenever you diaper the baby, you have to leave all the diapers where they are. So the Gemara says there's a special heter. Special heter. Let's say you have a dog. The dog makes a mess in the house. So you have to leave all the tzoya there. The tzoya is the chmamish garbage. That's the choladeis muktzah. So the Gemara says we have a kula. Let's say not a dog and not a baby. Let's say there's an adult and the person is sick and they have a bedpan. So they have tzoya merag lime, let's say, in the hospital. Tzoya merag lime in the room. So you're not allowed to move it out of the room. It's muktzah. So the Gemara says, yeah, it's muktzah. But it's a special heter if you have a bitchel merag lime or get of shorei, and it's very uncomfortable. You don't want to have this dirt in the bedroom or in the kitchen. It's very unhealthy, very uncomfortable. Smells, if it stares you, if it bothers you very much, and the Gemara has a special hat there, you're permitted to take it out. And the Gemara says, some chachamim thought you're only allowed to take it out by carrying the kli. You're not allowed to pick up the dover shalmuktzah itself. The Gemara says, not true. The Gemara tells a story that once a mouse jumped into a barrel of wine, and the mouse drowned. So they wanted to get the mouse out, a dead mouse in the middle of the wine or the beer. They wanted to get it out. It was very uncomfortable leaving it there, because they're going to drink this wine or this beer. So they had a shayla, the other heter, to take out the mouse to pick it up by its tail. Gemara says, yeah, not only is it mutter to take out the gerf shalrei, to take it out in the kli, even to take it to hold the tzaya in your hand, to hold the dead mouse in the end, is also muta if it's necessary. That's a special item. But that's only if it's taka very annoying. If the dirty diaper, if they diaper the baby in the bedroom on the bed, so you're going to tell me, so sleep on the other side of the bed and leave the dirty diaper. It's very uncomfortable doing like that. So that's your allotment. But let's say you diaper the baby in the bathroom, and you have garbage pans in the bathroom, so you can leave the dirty diaper over there. So the stock of no head to move the diapers around. It's only mutter to move around the dover shel muktzah, a real piece of garbage, a real piece of junk, if it's annoying. But if it's not annoying, then it's stock of no head to.
It might not be the same thing. Who wants to leave that so much on the table?
Okay.
Well, if you
it's annoying. It's annoying, yes. Some Rishonim say like that. The Rashba quotes that answer, I think. That the dirty bones on a table on Shabbos and Yom Tov, even if you should assume that it is muktzah, but it's a hefker gerev shorei. Some Rishonim say like that. So this is what it sounds like it says in the Gemara. Rav Nachman sounds like he says that by on Yom Tov, if you ate up the chicken, you left with the chicken bones, on Yom Tov it will be muktzah. On Shabbos it won't be muktzah, but on Yom Tov it will be muktzah. That's the simple way of reading the Gemara. On the bottom of the Rif, you have the Ravid's commentary. So the Ravid finds that very hard. What do you mean? Shabbos and Yom Tov is the same thing. How can you split? Either the din is like Reb Shimon, the din is like Reb Yudit. Either you do hold from the muktzah, you don't hold from the muktzah. So the Ravid reinterprets the Gemara, and he says like this. The Balabatim are learning Mishnayis, so you can pull the wool over their eyes. They don't really understand. So Rabbi Yehuda Anossi wrote the Mishnayis in such a way to up to now in the Balabatim, that they should think, they should get the mistaken impression that Muktzah is also on Yom Tov. But Aliba Demes, If you're learning Gemara, you'll know it's mutar on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. So the Taz Azach, what do you mean? Mukta is Osir on Yom Tov and mutar on Shabbos. If it's mutar on Shabbos, mutar on Yom Tov. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi didn't want to be mefarsim the din on Yom Tov. So he wrote, there were two traditions. You're not going to write a lie. You're not going to write something that's dishonest in order to up to nine and out. So he said, so there were two traditions by the days of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. They weren't sure whether they sealed with a chumer or besham with a chumer. There are two versions. So he chose to record one version of Masechet Shabbos and the other version of Masechet Pesach, that people should get the impression as if there's a prohibition, there's a chumrah muktan yantiv, that they shouldn't, the oilam should be mekel, shouldn't be mekel so much. But the Ravid says, Aliba dem is the Talmid HaChachamim who know it's really the same thing, and since the din is on Shabbos, it's muktan yantiv, it's mutros. That's the Shitas HaRavid. But that's not quoted in Shulchan Aruch. In Shulchan Aruch, they quote the simple reading of the Gemara, that it's takas split psak, that in Hilchas Yontif we asa muktzah, and in Hilchas Shabbos we mata the muktzah, because on Yontif you have to be mechazik the Suri Malacha, because the people are mezalzel, because they know there's so many haterim, so we're afraid they're going to take too many liberties.
I don't
connect with the Gemara. The Gemara says, make that split. The Ravid says, Gabi Shabbos sosam lon tane kireb shimin. Gabi Yontif sosam lon tane kireb yudin. So it doesn't say that we passed him. Reb Yudah Nasi wrote it in such a way to mislead the Olam a little bit.
What?
He didn't write a lie. There were two traditions. They weren't sure which way the Bishamay wrote. So he could have written both in one Masechta, but he chose to write it in such a way that if you learn the Mishnah quickly, without a Batanur, without a Teferis Yisrael, you'll get the impression that all the laws of Muktzah are more Chomer on Yontov than they are on Shabbos. That's how they write it.
What kind of Muktzah?
This, we're going to have to get back again. The 100 kinds of Muktzah are the same Shabbos Yontov. There's a difference on some of them. Oh. So here, so in the Shulchan Aruch, they don't quote their writing. The Shulchan Aruch, they assume, like the Rambam, like Tosfos, like the Rosh, that the Gemara really means to distinguish that the Hilchas Yontif, the Hilchas Muktzah, attack more Chomer on Yontif than they are on Shabbos. So here, there's a major machlokes. How far do we go with this? How far do we go? So last week we spoke about the original issue of Muktzah. Let's say we have the Pesach Digadishes set aside, and we don't plan to use the Pesach Digadishes. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's muktzah. If you change your mind in the middle of Rosh Hashanah, in the middle of every given Shabbos, you want to change your mind and no longer designate those for Pesach, you want to decide to use it today, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, it'll be muktzah. So, l'chari, we don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda. Or let's say we have the ice cream that's set aside for the birthday party, we don't plan to eat it today. So that's the original machlokes of the eruption. So the Mechaber quotes the Rambam, that on Yontif we pass like Rabbi Yehuda. So on Yontif, at any Yontif, you're not allowed to eat the ice cream that's in the freezer, and you're not allowed to use the Pesach Digadishes. Let's add a tuxedo that I only use for weddings. I only use for Purim, whatever. Have a shtreimel that I only use on Purim. All year long I don't use it. And it's clear that I'm not going to use it. So on any given Shabbos and Yontif, will it be Muktzah? So the Mechaber Paskens on, that's like Pesach Digadishes. It's clear that he doesn't plan to use it today. The shtreimel with the tuxedo. So the Mechaber says it'll be muktzah on Yontif and it won't be muktzah on Shabbos. That's how the Mechaber passes straight from the Rambam. That on Yontif, the Mechaber mamish passes like Rabbi Yehuda. Anything that Rabbi Yehuda says is muktzah, we would be machmara. The Ramah says that we don't follow that chumrah of the Rambam. We're only machmara in the Neulad. On this kind of Neulad, Michael Odom Shinistan Elias Michael Behemah.
The Beit is worse.
We don't hold like Rav Nachman. We hold this is God worse. Yeah. We're going to get to that later. We don't hold like Rav Nachman. But let's say that I ate the chicken. It started off on Erev Shabbos, and it started off as chicken Michael Odom. I ate a bowl of chicken, all you have left are the bones. Now it's only Michael Behemah. Then it's Michael Odom Shinistan Elias Michael Behemah. So that machlek is Rabbi Reb Shimon. That we machma like Rabbi Yehuda on Yontif. That's all the Ramah says. That's all we machma for. But to say that if it's not nerlat at all, I have this tuxedo that I only wear for weddings, and I have the shtreimel that I only use as a joke on Purim, and the Pesach the dishes, and I have the ice cream in the freezer set aside. So that the Ramah is paskening bein b'shabbos bein b'yontif. That would be mutter. He says. So the Ashkenazim are not like that. The Sfar didn't follow the Mechaber, that they don't they wouldn't handle anything that's muktzah libe Rav Yehuda on Yom Tov. They're machmer all the way like Rav Yehuda, and the Ashkenazim follow the Ramor. No, the only thing we're machmer for on Yom Tov is the noilad, this kind of noilad. But the muktzah of the Pesach of the Kedushas, but the ice cream that the Ashkenazim are making on that, that's not included in the Chumah in the Gemara. You're right. Yeah, you're right. The Stam Mishnah says like, well, that's Lahokel. Lahokel and Hilchah Shabbos, yeah. Where's Bayantif? Where does it say Lahachmer? In Malachmer is also a plain case of Mukh. Also a plain case of Mukh. Also, but still, that's how the Ramah quotes from the Rishon, that we don't paskin like we don't paskin all the way like Reb Yudah. And Yantu, you only paskin on Reb Yudah by Noilad, not by plain mood. And this is all Nachmal. This is all Rab Nachman's pshat in the Mishnah, who said that word that we're talking about a time the goyles by medes lekadal beitzim. So the beitzim shenolda is a Noilad gomur. And Noilad Gomer is a machlokes between Beishamer and Beisil. But if it would have been a Tanagurlis or Medes Lachila, he says, no problem, Lacholadeis, it's Mutter. So the Gemara is going to continue to say that we don't accept Rav Nachman's opinion. If it would be a Tanagurlis or Medes Legadul Beitzim, we would call it a Noilad Gomer, and Noilad Gomer, Beiner Abyuda, Beiner Abshimin is Mutter. That's what Tosis explains in the Gemara. Noilad Gomer, everybody's masking that it's Mutter. So that's why we reject Rav Nachman's opinion. But we have to, we didn't get to it yet. We have to explain, why did we reject Rav Nachman? What's wrong? Why shouldn't the case of Noilad Gomer be the same machlokes of Yehuda Reb Shimon? Do you need Hachana or not? If you hold that you need Hachana, so if it's a Noilad that never had Hachana Mibol Yom, and if you hold like Reb Shimon that you don't need Hachana, so what's wrong with Noilad Gomer? It doesn't need Hachana, so why should you say that it's Muktzah? What's the Hezber in this? Why have we rejected Rav Nachman? Why isn't he right? So we'll have to, we got to try. Next week, we've got to try to start instead of chasing over again. Try to start again. This week on Sunday, I attended two chasanas. So one chasana was a young couple getting married, and they'll hope to be blessed with a lot of children. So the meaning in Shulchan Aruch is that you get married, tachas kippas harakiyah. Supposed to get married outside. Because in today's Sedra, the Pasuk says, Vayos Yotza Achutza, the Rabbi Shalom took Avram Avinu outside, and he told him to look up at the stars, and he says, there's so many stars, you can't count it, Kol Yeh Zaracho, you'll have so many children. So as a Simen Broche, the minigur always was that they used to get, when a young girl gets married, they like to have children, so they used to get married outside to invoke this Simen Broche, that the Rabbi Shalom should remember his Haftocha to Avram Avinu. The other chasan that I attended, the chasan was 86 years old, and the kala was 78. It had it was a very nice chasan. He had a knife roof and the Sladish and Minyan in the yeshiva. He gave a kiddush with a knife roof, and the kala came with her two granddaughters to the knife roof. And on Shabbos, it was very nice. So there they got married inside the Reuben Shul. They didn't bother getting married. They don't plan to have any children now. So it says in Shulchan Aruch like that, the minhag is, if it's an almana and all the women getting married, you're not interested in having any babies at the age of 78. So then you get married inside. But if it's a young girl and they hope that they'd like to have children, so then the minhag is that you get married outside. So there's a Tosfos in Yuma, in the first parak in Yuma, on Daf Yud Beis, there's a famous Tosfos that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that we have two parts to the marriage ceremony. You have Erisin and you have Nisuin. How do you do Erisin? You give the Erisin as Kiddushin. Same thing. In modern Hebrew, Erisin means you got engaged. But in Tanakh, that's not what it means. And Naira Hamarasa means she's an Eshisi. She's married already. And if they break the Erisin, you need a get. It's not like today a couple breaks an engagement. You don't need a get. They're not married. Erisin means she's Mekudeshes. You give a ring and say, Harriet Mekudeshes, leave. That's called Erisin. So we know how to make Erisin. How do you make Nisuin? How do you accomplish Nisuin? So it's very unclear. It never says the Farish in the Gemara. Nisuin means the full, complete issues. How do you make a full? Erisin is an Eishes Ish, like the Beis Habal, and Nisuin is an Eishes Ish, the Beis Habal. How do you make the second step of the marriage? So some Hashem say it's done by the Badek, and some say it's done by standing under the canopy, and some say it's done by the Yichud later on. So we do all the different shittas. There are more than three shittas. We do all the different shittas. So the Tosfos in Yuma, Daf Yudei, quotes that Talmud. It sounds from the Talmud Yerushalmi that when a besula gets married, when a girl gets married for the first time, then standing under the chuppah is kaina. When an almona gets married, then standing under the chuppah is not kaina in a yichud. Why? Echateisa. Why? So no one knows what they're talking about. So some achrenim write, oh, that's why. Because the girl who gets married the first time, that staying pshat in Yerushalmi. Tosfos quotes in Yerushalmi. So some achrenim said, the girl gets married, a young girl gets married, they get married outside in order to have tachas kippas harakiyah, in order to invoke the bracha of kol yizaracha. So when you have a chuppah outside, that chuppah is kaina. But the almona, what do you mean an almona? She's not a 19-year-old almona. Now in Eretz Yisrael they have almonas, young almonas. Husbands are killed in the army with terrorists. But years ago, what was an almona? A 7-8-year-old woman is an almona. So she's getting married. She's not interested in having any children. So they got married inside. If the chuppah is inside, then the chuppah is not kaina. So that's what Rav Chaim Balozhina asks. Why? Why does it make a difference if the chuppah is inside, chuppah is outside? Why should it make a difference? He says it's wrong. The Yerushalmi never said it. The chuppah is kaina even by the almona, and the whole thing is wrong. It's a mistake, and Tosfos misunderstood the Yerushalmi. But the Achronim said that that was the pshat in the Tosfos. So the Pasha pshat in the Tosfos seems to be the following. The Shad is, what is it all about? That the chuppah, what kind of a nisuin is it? Why the standing under the canopy? Why does that constitute nisuin? So the Pashta says that it's based on the Pasuk in Megillas Rus that she's interested in getting married. So she says, Ufarasta kanafecho ala nasa. It's an expression for getting married. So the top of the canopy is cloth. That's like by the Sfardim and by the Yekes, they put a talus over the chasan and the kalah together. That's the nisun. That's literally. So by the Ashkenazim, by the others, not by the Yekes, not by some. So they have the cloth of the canopy. It's something like a forasta kanafecha alamasecha. It shows a hiskarbus, which is an ancient thing to day sabbal. But other poskim hold, no, that's not the vort of the canopy. The vort is that it's like a tzuras ha-pesach. It constitutes like a separate room. Even though it's not a yichud, everybody looks through, it's all open, it constitutes, it's a makom mukaf, it's like a tzuras ha-pesach, you have poles and you have the string on top, like an eruv for Shabbos purposes. So you have a tzuras ha-pesach and you don't really need the shmat on top, you don't really need the cloth, according to these poskim. The cloth is just that the edge of the cloth should serve as the string. If you would have four strings, you wouldn't need the cloth. The other poskim holds, no! The ikavort is the cloth. You don't really need the poles. It's a forastic. It's like a talus. It's like a talus. And these poles can hold on the side of the Ebenezer. These poles can hold no. The ikav really is the string that goes from one pole to the other to constitute something like a tzuras ha-pesach. It should be like knisa l'rishusa. It's like a separate rishus, like a separate cheder. Knisa l'rishusa. So they say that it makes a difference. If the chuppah is outside, tachas kippas harakia, and the makam is not mukav, there are no walls around the makam, it's an open area, so that's a separate room. But if you have in the middle of the shul, some years ago they used to get married in the shul, and then the chassam sofer made a big fuss, you shouldn't get married in the shul. So if you're getting married inside a building, and the whole room is mukav mechitzas harum and harum, so what do you mean? You're making a little tzuras ha-pesach in the middle, but the whole, that area is already swallowed up by all the walls that go arum and arum. So if the walls of the chuppah would go up to the ceiling, there'll be what to discuss. Maybe mom separates, but the walls of the chuppah don't go up to the ceiling, just a little bit, half of the height of the ceiling, and the whole area of shatachas ha-chuppah is enclosed in the bigger the walls that go around and around. So in Hilchas Sukkah and Hilchas Shabbos, that's not called a separate makom mukav. It's swallowed up by the bigger mechitzas around the rat. So that's the way the Achrenim understood the pshat and the Tosfos. The almona, the chuppas almona is not kaina. And the chuppas psula is kaina. What's the difference between an almona and a psula? No, the chilek is inside outside. If the chuppah is outside, the area is wide open area, so the chuppah constitutes a makom. So it's called knisa l'rishusoi. But if the chuppah is taking place inside, so that's not a makom mukav. The mokum is mukav by the big walls around. Everybody's standing there. You have 100 guests standing there. So how is that a chuppah? So that's what some poskim hold, that this meaning that we have, that the psula gets married tachas kippas harakiyah, and the almona gets married in the house, because the almona is not interested in invoking the bracha of kol yizaracha. Some claim that this is such an ancient meaning that it was already in the days of the Yerushalmi. The Achronim say that that's Pshat and Tosfos. That already Bizman HaYerushalmi, that's what the Yerushalmi was alluding to. That the Almana gets married in the building and the Psula gets married outside.
So that this is called that they have some places in the shoes, Lomalov and Lomalov, if you do it inside. Here's just a little hole opening. Like
it'll be like a chukas, it'll still be like a chukas Almana. You'll accomplish that it'll be tachas tibas are here, but it still won't be kind of like a chukas Almana. So after a year later, the machlekes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, the first of the three machlekes, and the Mishnah quotes all the three cases where the Beis Shammai Beis Hillel disagree in Hilchos Yontif, where the Beis Shammai are lehokel and the Beis Hillel is lehachmel, unusual. So the first of the three cases, a famous case, a beitush and all the Beis Shabbos of Yontif. A hen lays a chicken. A hen lays an egg on Shabbos Yontif. So the Shammai say, no problem, an egg is an egg, so you're permitted to eat it. And the Beis Hillel held that you're not allowed to eat the egg. So the Gemara wants to know, what's wrong? Why is it forbidden to eat the egg? So we just went through the Gemara roughly. The Gemara has four explanations. So the first explanation was Rav Nachman, who was rejected. But we have to first understand what he said and what part of Rav Nachman is going to be rejected. Rav Nachman says, "An alta machloikis b'shamer b'silul as a machloikis Rav Yehuda Reb Shimon." Whether you hold from muktzah, you don't hold from muktzah. What do you mean you don't hold from muktzah? There's no such thing as muktzah. Everybody's masking. There is a din of muktzah. If you have muktzah machmas gufo, for example, eitz and mavon of yofa, you have junk. So junk, everybody's masking that there's an isra of muktzah. What's the isra of muktzah? Not to handle muktzah. Not to pick it up, to carry it from one place to the other. And the Gemara says later, the reason why Midirabban, it's not an Issa Manater, the reason why you're not permitted to handle Muktzah, to move it around, is because of the Gzeri Shema Yotzi. You may forget and carry it into the street. So why did they only prohibit handling junk? They should have prohibited handling everything. So the Gemara says, no, that would be a Gzeri Shein Yechalim Lamed Bo. You make life impossible. You can't handle food, you can't handle clothing, you can't handle Svarim, and you can't handle a table and a chair. So whatever has a hishtam shoes, they never wanted to make an Issa, that would make life impossible. But whatever is Benkova calls a piece of junk. And the way to determine whether something is junk or not, so the Gemara gives a klal, not 100% klal, but it's a pretty good klal. And Masach Shabbos Perakolak, and the Gemara says, whatever is Mekabal Tum is something that has chashivis, that has use. Od Mekele Mochlam Amashkim. These four categories have hishtam shoes, have significance, so that's not called Mukta. Whatever is not the other Mekele Mochel Mamashkim is just a piece of junk. So that's why it's not Mekabel Tumah, has absolutely no Cheshivas at all. So if you don't need it anyway, it has no Ishtamshus. So you're not making life difficult by telling him he's not allowed to handle on Shabbos. So then you make an Issa Derabbanan. Don't handle it even in the house. Exeret, then you may forget and carry it out into the street. So the whole prohibition of that's Beferish. That din of Muktzah, Tiltal Muktzah, is clearly Exeret Derabbanan. Nobody holds that that's an Issa Derais. There may be other aspects of Mukta which may or may not be there, right? But we'll get to. Rashi on Amud Beis says that the way we pass on Halacha, Mukta is there, right? We'll get to the Rashi already. Rashi runs within Rabba, the Rabba holds Mukta is there, right? And all of Rishonim disagree with Rashi. We'll have to learn the Gemara. So we're dealing with an Issa Mukta de Rabbanon. We're talking about an issue of Mukta de Rabbanon, that you're not allowed to handle Mukta, Gzeri Shema Yotze. In Shulchan Aruch, the way it's generally accepted, the Chazanish has a Chumra, a different Shita. But the way it's usually assumed is that because people normally carry things, how do they violate her? So usually they carry in their hands. Sometimes you carry in your pocket, you leave things in your pocket, you walk in the street. It's also an Issa Haitzor. You're in violation of carrying on Shabbos. But usually people don't carry by kicking with their feet, unless you sometimes race when you're by the airport. So you football. You kick a football by the airport, sometimes you push a valise or something. But normally people do Haitzor by carrying in their hands or carrying in their pockets. So that's why the Magen Avraham says in the Mishneh Berurah, quotes from the Magen Avraham, the classical Poskim say the Parshat Pshat, that the Issa Tilta Mukta is only Biyad. The normal way to get, because the whole prohibition of Mukta is Gzeira Shem Yotzi, you may forget and carry it into the street, and the normal way of carrying is, but the hands, you don't normally carry with your feet. So let's say a person wants to be Mekalpa Mukta by pushing with his arm, or by kicking with his foot, or with his knee, or with his body. So we assume Lalacha, that Tilta Mukta Begufa is Mukta, because since that's not the normal way to carry, so they never prohibited such a form of tilkum muktzah.
If the muktzah is only shem oitzua, why by yontif you also have muktzah? Yontif there's no iso oitzua.
Oh, so that's what the Gemara had a shaila. On yontif, is there an iso oitzua? Is there an iso oitzua? So there's a Mishnah later, where there's a machloikis on Yud Beis Amud Aleph. Are you allowed to carry the lulav to shul on Yontif? Are you allowed to carry a sefer to learn? Are you allowed to take the baby in a baby carriage on Yontif, in a stroller on Yontif? So the Beis Shammai say not allowed, and the Beis Hillel say that it is permissible. The first thing Gemara thought that according to Beis Hillel, the Bechlal, there's no prohibition of Haitzah on Yontif. They're only from the 39 malachas that are forbidden on Shabbos. Only 38 are Rosser on Yontif. You only carry over 38, and the 39th one doesn't carry over. How can it be? It says you're not allowed to do Malach on Yontif. Why should I say that only 38 Malachas carry over, 39th one doesn't? So the answer is because Haitzah is a Malach of Grua. The Gemara says it is different from all the other Malachas. So therefore, maybe you can be Mechalik between 38 on the one hand and the one on the other hand. But you have to have a Pasik. Is there a Pasik that draws a distinction? So the Gemara says on Yud Beis Amud Aleph, yeah, there is a Pasik in Yirmiyah. The pasuk in Yirmiyah says, "La tatsil masam libatechem b'yoyim haShabbos." Don't carry on Shabbos. So the simple mashmos of the pasuk is, the Shabbos you're not allowed to carry, but beyond of you're allowed to carry. So that was the first suggestion that the Gemara gave. That the reason why Beis Hillel say you're allowed to carry a machzor to shul, you're allowed to carry a lulav and a talis and a baby and so on and a sefer, is because you only carry over 39 isurim of malachas, and the malacha grua doesn't apply at all on Yontif. So the Gemara for Ektakasha, how can it be? Elo Meyato. The Gemara has about 10 lines from the bottom on Yud Beis Amud Aleph. If that's the Shita's Beis Hillel, that only 38 Malachas apply to Yontif, and the 39th Isser of Haitzor doesn't carry over because it's a Malacha Grua. So therefore, on the Pasuk in Yirmiyah seems to say that it only applies to Shabbos, not to Yontif. There's no Isser at all. For Ektakasha, Gemara, so how come there's an Isser Muktzah? We all know that Muktzah is a Gzeira Shel Hayotzi. The whole prohibition, the Rabbanon, not to handle mukts, a piece of junk, is because we're afraid that you may forget and carry it in the street. If you're telling me that Bechlal does not Yisur Haitzah and Yontif at all, so what did they make? Or if you're going to tell me that the Yisur Haitzah and Yontif is not their Isa, let's say, it's only the Rabbanon, also be a kasha. What did they make a Gzeira Muktas? So the Gemara says, Liyayilam Beseilal, I'm asking with the Beshamai that you're not allowed to carry on Yontif. And if you have your pockets full of junk on Yontif, you have to empty them out. You're not allowed to carry on necessarily on Yontif. Whatever you need, you're allowed to carry. So let's say if I want to carry food to eat in the sukkah, so that's dinner baruch nefesh, just like you're permitted to cook. You're not allowed to cook on Shabbos, you're not allowed to cook on Yontif either. But if you want to eat the food on Yontif, so then there's a heter baruch nefesh. You're permitted to cook or to bake. You want to have freshly baked challahs on Yontif. It tastes better than challahs that are baked on Erev Yontif. He doesn't want stale old challahs, he wants that fresh. It says that it's a hidden mitzvah to bake the challahs on Yontif if the balabasta is prepared. She wants to go to shul, she wants to meet all of her friends, she won't have any time to bake the challahs. So if she wants to bake challahs on Yontif in order to have more geschmack, so that's a heter, rechon nefesh, you're allowed to. So if I want to carry food into the sukkah, that I understand you're allowed to carry. But here the Mishnah, that bein lebeisham and bein lebeisil, they agree, that's a heter, rechon nefesh. But here the beisil will allow you even to carry the baby for a walk, or to carry a machzor to shul, or to carry a talis, or to carry a lulav. So where's the heter rechon nefesh over there? So that's what the Gemara says. Oh, the Beis Hillel hold mitoch shuut for the tzarech rechon nefesh, put your nami shulot the tzarech rechon nefesh, provided that that there is a tzarech hayom tzas. You have to have a tzarech hayom tzas. Why? Because the pasuk says. Pasuk says, "Acha sheyachol rechon nefesh, hu levado yeyosol lachem." So the Gemara said, so the Rishonim pointed out, the Gemara understood that there's too many extra Lashonis over there. It should have just said, Echal Nefesh is Mutta. So some Rishonim said, the Sefer Yireim says, since it says, Acha Sheach L'chol Nefesh, Hatzorech HaNefesh, this is Hatzorech HaGuf, I want to eat the flesh, and my wife cooks the flesh on Yontif, I carry the food to the sukkah to eat. That's a tzorach haguf. How is that a tzorach hanefesh? So the Sefer Yireim understands that that's what the Beisilol meant over here. That you're allowed to carry a lulav and a sefer and so on to do a mitzvah. You're allowed to carry the baby if you want to perform the bris milah on the baby. That's what the Tosafot quotes Rabbi Nachman. Not time to take the baby for a stroll. You want to carry the baby to perform a bris milah on Yontif. That's allowed because that's a tzorach hanefesh. Tzorach haguf is a hanefesh. Is literally eichal nefesh, and the fact that the Torah uses the term nefesh instead of using the term guf adds on that tzorchei mitzvah are also mutter. But let's say it's time to take a stroll, even the Beisilah would say that you're not allowed to push the baby in a baby carriage. That's why tzorach shelo v'tzorach klal. Tosis is not so convinced that the Rabbeinu Hananel is right. They think that the way we do, you push the baby in the baby carriage, you're not pushing the baby to do the bris milah. It's not on the Yom HaShmini. It's time you go for a walk in the park. You take the baby. So what's the heter? So Tosis says maybe that's also a mitzvah. Simchas Yontif. I want to go for a walk. I want to enjoy. Yeah, I don't want to. I should keep the baby in the house. I want to enjoy the fresh air, and I want my baby also to enjoy the fresh air. So Tosis says it doesn't have to be such a rigid mitzvah like Mila. Mila bismanas as a mitzvah. Simchas Yontif is also a mitzvah. I want to enjoy Yontif. I want the baby also to enjoy Yontif. Maybe it's also called a Torah Yom Kippur. So that day in Tosfos is saying the same as the Sefer Yireim, that the mocker for the Beis Hillel is from the word nefesh, ach yach chol nefesh, not only Torah Yaguf mutter, even Torah Nefesh, even Torah Mitzvah, also mutter. But they say you can broaden out the concept of nefesh. It doesn't have to be such a rigidly defined mitzvah. And then the other days in the Rishonim say, no, it's not based on the word nefesh. It has nothing to do with nefesh. Nothing to do with not only because it's a mitzvah. Leave out mitzvahs. It doesn't have to do with the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif. The stam, whatever is a tzorach hayom tzas is mutter, and it's not based on the word nefesh, b'shilul shita, it's rather based on the word lachem. Hul abadu yiyosa lachem, lachem l'chol tzarcheichem. That the word lachem is ma, but lachem l'chol tzarcheichem is a drosha that appears in the Gemara. And the Gemara has that been again to a different topic. The Gemara discusses Machshiri Eichel Nefesh. Machshiri Eichel Nefesh Heis Tazoy. I want to eat a delicious meal on Yontif. So my wife is an expert baker, so she's going to bake the challahs on Yontif, freshly baked. And she's going to cook the flesh on Yontif. It's going to be delicious. She's going to cook and bake everything on Yontif. But then after she prepares everything, then we realize I have no forks and knives. Am I allowed to manufacture a fork and knife? And there's no way to get. The neighbors don't have either. Am I allowed to make a fork and a knife on Yontif? Eichel Nefesh. I want to eat. Eichel Nefesh. Yeah, I feel uncomfortable eating with my hands. So I would enjoy better eating with a fork and a knife. But the problem is, once I make the fork and a knife, once I make the chicken, I'm going to eat it up and it's going to be finished.
Fork and knife before everything.
I'm going to make the challahs, I'm going to eat it up, finished. When I'm going to make the fork and the knife, that's already going to last all year long. They're not disposable forks and knives.
Chopping the knife.
Same Shiloh, exactly the same Shiloh.
But chapman, you don't can't throw away and you use it all the time after.
Oh, so that's the same Shiloh. If I sharpen the knife and I use it now, and then the next time I want to use the knife, I'm going to have to sharpen it again. So since it's only for today, that's mamash eichel nefesh. That's not called machshire. That's not called the hachana. But if I'm going to sharpen a knife, it'll remain sharp for a month or two. I won't have to sharpen it again until another
time. The moil on Shabbos, on the bris, you're allowed to sharpen the knife before the bris?
No. I don't think so. That's machshire. That's machshire nila, not dechel shabbos. Only the actual nila itself is
dechel shabbos. But there's no knife. Let's say the knife is...
You don't do it.
You don't do the bris. That's a machloikis. There is a machloket. The Tanner of Blazer Ben Hurkinah says not only are you permitted to do the actual Maisa Mila when it's a Mila Bismana, you're allowed to do the Hachonis in advance to make a knife and so on. But we don't paskin like that. We paskin, you're only allowed to do the actual Mila itself, like Rebbe Akiva, yes. So here, just like there's a machloket, is there by Machshire Mila. Shef Shalasis Mabod Yom, are you allowed to do it on Shabbos and Yom by the Mila? There's such a similar machlekes here in Beit. So what about machshire eichel nefesh? Machshire eichel nefesh heis tazoy. If I'm going to make disposable forks and knives, I use it once, then I don't use it anymore. Okay. That's called mamash eichel nefesh. That's a Ramban like that. That's mamash eichel nefesh. That's not subject to dispute. The machlekes says he's going to make forks and knives or sharpen a knife, and it's going to last past Yontif. So that's a machlokes hatanoi. Shaila, how we pask on halacha with it's mutar aros. So the tanoim hold that it's mutar. Where did they get such an ein fall from?
Not the same thing as hoil.
No.
That's hoil.
No, but that's only.
So on that fish, that's another din.
That's
another din. Yeah. Let's say it's late on Yontif in the afternoon, and I only need one cup of coffee, one cup of tea. So I'm allowed to hold the kettle under the flowing faucet of water till it fills up the whole kettle, because to turn on the faucet is muta. It's not an isa hachone, because I need the faucet. Then I hold the kettle there, and I know it's getting all full to the top, and I know I don't need so much. That's not an isa hachone. Then I turn on the fire. The pilot is on. Let's say the pilot is not on. You're not allowed to turn on the fire on yonder. The pilot is on, so you're permitted to light an ash from an ash that already exists. That's a Mishnah later. Then on Yantar, there's an Issa not to be moiled ash mechadish. You're not allowed to make a new flame. But if the pilot is on, you're taking the flame from there. So it's, now they don't, I think it's against the law to manufacture such stoves. They don't make them anymore with pilots. So now they have on the new stoves, when you turn on the stove, it ignites the flame. So it's atzaris. On Yantar, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to use such a flame. So the. So the Gemara says later, if I put on a kettle that's full of water to the top on top of the fire, because I know that a lot of people want to have a hot drink on Matzor Yontif. I'm only interested in having one cup of tea or coffee on Yontif in the afternoon, and the reason why I filled it up to the top, because a lot of people want to have Matzor Yontif. So then the Gemara says that's mutter. That's right. Marbi B'shur. Or let's say I want to cook some flesh for all the members of the family. So having the freezer, I have two pieces of flesh on Yom Tov. One is a gigantic piece of flesh that's 10 pounds. And the other one is only 2 pounds. All I need is this 2 pounds. So the Gemara says you're permitted to take out the 10, you're permitted to take the big, giant piece of flesh that's 10 pounds and put it in the pan and bake the whole thing, because if you have a 2-pound package and another 2-pound package, another 2-pound package, no, then you're not allowed to, because all you need is 2 pounds. And when I take the other 2-pound package, that's an Issa Hachana. That's unnecessary for Yom Tov. I'm taking it out of the freezer specially in order to cook it for Matzor Yom Tov. That would be an Issa Hachana. Or, take for example the following case. I have the pot that's already sitting on the fire. And I take out a 2-pound piece of flesh and I put it into the pot. Then I take out another 2-pound piece of flesh. All I need is 2 pounds of flesh. Then I take out another 2-pound piece of flesh and I put it in the pot. Not only is that an Issa Hachana, Hachana is only an Issa Dirabonim. Achon is not a nisa deraisa. It's not a malacha. Let's say I'm going to set up the tables and the chairs for Malava Malka. I set up on Shabbos afternoon for Malava Malka Matzoi Shabbos. Or the person takes out the suit that he's going to wear Matzoi Shabbos somewhere, a dress or a suit that you set to the side on Shabbos afternoon in order to get dressed on Matzoi Shabbos. So that's an nisa achon. That's only a nisa derabon. It's not a nisa deraisa. It's a nisa. But it's not a malacha. It's not a nisa deraisa. So if I take out. All I need for Yom Tov is 2 pounds of flesh. If I take out a 2-pound piece and another 2-pound piece and another 2-pound piece, and I have 10 pounds, so the extra pieces that I took out is all in Issa Achana. If I already have the pot on the stove and I take out the 2-pound piece from the freezer and I put it straight in, not only is that an Issa Achana on the extra ones, it's an added Issa Bishul. Every time I take food and I put it on top of the fire, it's an Issa Bishul. If the pot is not on the fire, and I load it up with a lot of flesh, and then I put the pot on the fire, so there's one ma'aser bishul. One ma'aser bishul on all of that flesh. But since each piece of flesh was separate, a 2-pound unit, a 2-pound unit, and all I need is 2 pounds, so that's a violation of the Issa Achana Derabbanan. But if I put the pieces directly on top of the fire, that's a bigger Issa. There's Mama Shoifa, he's Mavashal Miyantav L'chol. Every time he puts a piece of flesh, raw flesh on the fire, it's another violation of bishul. So the Gemara has that din. If I have a 10-pound piece of flesh in the freezer and I have a 2-pound piece, all I need is 2 pounds on Yom Tov. I don't need the extra 8 pounds on Yom Tov. I need it Matzor Yom Tov. So I'm permitted to take the 10-pound piece rather than take the 2-pound piece. There's no Issa Achana. I got to take one piece, either this piece or that piece. So I'm just doing one pool of taking a piece of flesh. I'm not doing an added Issa Malacha of Bishul. I put the pot on the fire, whether it has a big piece of flesh, little piece of flesh. So that's the Gemara later. The Gemara says that Marbe B'Shurim is mutar on Yom Tov, but to do a malacha separately, to do a malacha on Yom Tov from Matzor Yom Tov, that you're not allowed to do.
So why on Shabbos, if you have an Erev, why can't you have Pilchum? The Pilchum, what are you afraid of? You're going to be carried.
There was no
reason to worry about an Erev. And a Lachem is not involved, or a Lachem is not involved.
May carry out of the Erev. Freddie may carry out of the Erev. The Erev has to end somewhere. The Gemara says there's a Mishnah Erevin that says when you make an Erev in a city,
you have to leave over,
you have to leave over part of the city. Otherwise, the people will forget that there's a prohibition of Hotzah. A lot of people have forgotten. A lot of people live in communities where there's an Erev, so they forgot already that there's an Issur Hotzah. So the Mishnah says an Erevin to make sure that everybody remembers that you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos unless you have an Erev. So you have to leave that part of the city. So we're afraid the person may forget and carry into that part of the city. So the Gemara has on that machlokes hatanaim, are you allowed to manufacture a fork and a knife, cutlery, in order to eat the food on Yontif? See if it's disposable cutlery, you're just going to use it once and then you're going to throw it out. So then everybody's masking, that's called Eichel Nevesh. But if you're not going to throw it out, you're going to use it and reuse it and reuse it many times, then it's a lushar, that's called machshire Eichel Nevesh. That's a machlokes hatanaim. And the Shaila and Shulchan Aruch, how we paskin exactly. So the Tanoim say that that's mutter. The Gemara says they line it up in the pasuk. Hu levada yiyasa lochem. Lochem has mashmas lechol tzarchechem. Not only Eichel Nefesh, but it sounds like it's very restricted. Only what you're going to eat on Yontif. Even lochem lechol tzarchechem. Everything is okay. The other Tana says no. It says hu levado. Levado means the right to a restriction. Don't tell me lochem means
inclusive.
You broaden it out. It's inclusive. No, levado is restrictive. And it's only Eichel Nefesh. Machshir Eichel Nefesh is not muta. And the other Tana says, no. I have levado, which is restrictive, and I have lachem, which is inclusive. So the chastir, is it inclusive, is it restrictive? So he says, there are two kinds of machshire. If it's machshir Eichel Nefesh, shef shalasis mubod yom. If he knew on Erev Yontif that he has no forks and knives, and he didn't take care of it, he could have gone to the store, could have manufactured Erev Yontif, then he's not allowed to do it on Yontif. That it's an Issa derais, not a chumah, that it's an Issa derais, because it says levado. Levado means restrictive. But he had a set of forks and knives on Erev Yontif, and then there was a gneiva. The ganoven came and they stole it. All the knives broke in the middle of Yontif. He had everything was ready on Erev Yontif, and everything broke. And he didn't know in advance that he should prepare himself. So that's the case, so he got stuck. That's machshir Eichel Nefesh she'iyav shalasis merod yom. So then you darshan lachem l'chol tzarchechem. That's how the Tanei Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda holds like that. Machshir Eichel Nefesh is mutter. So he darshan both lachem and levado. Lachem means inclusive. Nocha heter. Eichel Nefesh means only Eichel Nefesh. And lachem means l'chol tzarchechem even machshir Eichel Nefesh. And levado is a limitation of the machshir Eichel Nefesh.
How far does that go? Remember, if I'm making a knife, can I actually turn it, put on a machine to do that? How much more can I do to make that knife? Can I do anything at all?
We'll have to learn the Gemara's. No, there are limitations. There are a lot of limitations.
It seems that the lachem is both inclusive and also a limitation. But lachem v'loy la'akum. There is a limit from the lachem. He darshnik lachem
inclusive.
He darsh lachem to limit.
Limit, yeah.
So it's like it's a start of the sasun the word lachem.
I don't know. Yeah, they darshan both. So on that pasuk lachem, which the Gemara says means inclusive, a bigger hetter. Not only the other hetter reichel nefesh, even the hetter lachol tzarchechem machshir reichel nefesh. You point to some tanoim. So that's what many Rishonim say. The Raivin and Shitim Kobetis and Ksubis writes like that. Another Rishonim say, that's the marker of the Beis Hillel. Where did the Beis Hillel get this idea that any malacha that you're allowed to violate, let's say cooking and carrying and havara, making fires, any malacha that you're permitted to violate for the purpose of Eichel Nefesh, you're also permitted to violate for the purpose of Tzarach Hayom Ktzas, to take the baby for a walk. How do you know that? So they say, it's not a svara. How can it be a svara? You need a pasuk to say Heter Eichel Nefesh. No, it's based on the pasuk lachem, lachol tzarchechem. Then any tzarcha yom ktsas is also acceptable. But I call upon him, that's the Gemara. No, I'm all just again. It's not that on Yontav only 38 out of 39 melachas are also, and the melacha of Hoitzah is muta because it's a melacha grua, and it was never formulated in a gabi Yontav. And that's the mashmas of the pasuk in Yirmiyahu lo satir masim batechem b'yayim ha-shabbos, then I'd yontav be allowed to carry. No, that was nitche. There was such an opinion, but that was totally nitche. There was such an opinion on Yom Kippur also. The Gemara has one opinion in the Gemara, Rav Ashi. I think the Gemara says Rav Ashi. One opinion in the Gemara Yuma that you're allowed to carry on Yom Kippur. That from the Lametes Melochas, only 38 Melochas carry over to Yom Kippur. And Hoitzah, Ein Erev Hoitzah Yom Kippur, that you're allowed to carry on Yom Kippur. Then the Gemara says it's absolutely wrong. It's absolutely wrong. He made a mistake. The Gemara says the Amora made a mistake. You don't say Eilu ever did with the Kimchai. The Gemara says he made a mistake. It's absolutely you're not allowed to carry on Yom Kippur. A lot of Jews in America all like to have a minute. The Gemara says it's absolutely wrong. It's not that he one of the Amora made a mistake. So the same mistake that he made there by Yom Kippur, the Amora made over here by Yontif. The Gemara says it's not correct. It's not the Pshat in the Beis Hillel. The Beis Hillel would have held that there's no Isur Hotzah at all on Yontif, then why do you have an Isur of Muktzah, the whole Muktzah? The whole Isur of Tiltal Muktzah is a Xerish Shema Yotzi. So it's a right that there is an Isur Hotzah on Yontif, but most of the things that we carry is with Tzarach HaYom Ktzas. What am I carrying the Talis to Shul? Because I want to use it today. What do I carry a Mafzah? I want to use it. I want to use the lulav. I'm taking the baby for a walk. It's good. But if I have things loaded down in my pocket, unnecessarily have junk in my pocket that I don't need, that takib light on Isur Hotzah on Yontif. You're not allowed to carry things unnecessarily on Yontif. It's a good kasha. The Mishnah Brewer quotes that kasha. He works very hard. It's a good kasha. Why isn't it Mishnah? Why isn't it Tzarach HaYom Ktzas? Why aren't all Makhshirim Tzarach HaYom Ktzas? They say it's not. They hold from a posit that it's not.
Tzarach
HaYom Ktzas means Tzarach HaYom Ktzas means I'm doing a malacha for today. But here Makhshir means the effect of the malacha is going to be lasting. The forks and the knives that I'm going to manufacture today are going to last for a long time. So that's a pasuk levado. That you're not. The Tanoim hold that you're not allowed to do malacha to make machshirin is based on the pasuk levado. So there's no hetzer because it's going to have a lasting effect. You're not allowed.
Well, machshirin for the yom, you're allowed. That's what it is. If you need something for yontif itself, it's the same
material.
Yontif alone.
If it's not going to last, disposable
pots,
then everybody agrees that it's mutter.
Then
everybody agrees. That's not called machshirin. That's called mamish
aruch.
That's a Ramban. It's a sefer maleches yontif. There's a sefer that was written in Europe, maleches yontif, by Moshe Sokolovsky. Moshe Sokolovsky was the Rosh Yeshiva. He was a little yeshiva in Brisk. That was under Rav Chaim Soloveitchik's supervision. So he was the Rosh Yeshiva in that yeshiva. He wrote the Imrei Moshe. So he wrote also, before he learned by Rav Chaim, he wrote this Tilpul Sefer called Halachas Yontif. Then after he learned by Rav Chaim, Nitna Tarvin Eschat Shalachas, and Gans in a different style. But this Sefer that he wrote before is all a Tilpul Sefer just on one topic. And Echal Nefesh, and Achshir Echal Nefesh, and Mitoich, and he quotes all the Achronim, all the Tilpulim. So he has he points out this Ramban that if I do a machshirin, if I'm making disposable forks and knives, it's only going to be used I'm sharpening the knife, and when I'm going to use it on yontif, then it's going to be used up already. I'm going to have to sharpen it again next time. That's not a topic of machshirin. Then everybody's masking. That's called echon nefesh. The whole idea of machshir means I'm doing a malacha today to use it today. And the result, the effect is going to remain, lasting effect. I'm going to have forks and knives to use geseder. So that's a machlekes hatanoim. Whether that is also mutter or not. But you can't say, let it be mutter mitam, Tzarach HaYom Ktzas. No. Tzarach HaYom Ktzas means, I carried the lulav to shul today, I'm going to use it today. The fact that it's going to be shul is not going to help me for tomorrow. Tomorrow I want it back in my home. The bench has to be in the morning when I wake up. I don't want it to shul tomorrow. I carry the machzor to shul today for today. It's not going to help.
Bring it home.
That's another shayla of my life. That's another topic.
But does it apply to the kulim also? To take a measure, you have a pot and the handle breaks, and you want to cook for yontif, the food, the handle breaks off. Are you allowed to let that kind of
thing? Yeah, same shayla. That's machshirei. Once you fix the handle, it's going to remain
for next week also.
So that's called machshirei.
But you're not. I'm not asking. The same thing like you take the knife while the cutting it breaks, while you're cooking it breaks. Not that you have a pot with broken and you want to cook with a broken pot. While you're cooking
but once
it,
you
the handle breaks
it.
Off.
The same thing, but once you fix it,
there's a difference than if you have a broken pot and you're preparing
it
temporarily. You could have, but the broken pot you could not have prepared before Shabbos, before Yom Kippur.
It makes
no
difference.
It broke while you were doing it.
Okay, right. So that's called EF Shalasin from Bod Yom. So that's the machlekes.
But
that's the case where there's a machlekes.
You can fix it temporarily. It just lasts for today. It's good.
Okay. If you can fix it in a
such a way that then it won't be a machlokes. Then it will be called mamash eichal nefesh. Then it won't be a machlokes a machshiri. Then it's mamash eichal nefesh. Good. Another topic. That's a very important topic. Okay, maybe we should have started from that topic, but we'll get to that.
Okay,
we'll have to talk about it. And maybe we'll talk about it now. Okay, maybe we'll talk about it now. Why not? What if here in the Mishnah? We're going to get back to the Beit Hashanah. Just we're already discussing this.
Get spoiled anyway.
Okay, I'll put it in the refrigerator until it gets cooked. So again, on the Mishnah, Yud Bei Saman Aleph is a machlekes b'shamim still like you're allowed to carry the lulav to shul and the talis to shul and so on. So we pass like the Bishilu. That mitoch shul to the tzarich rachel nefesh. Any malacha that's mutter for rachel nefesh purposes is also mutter for tzarich hayom tzas. And we don't pass like the Rabbeinu Hananel with the Sefer Yireim that the Bisilul is only matter l'tzarchei mitzvah. It doesn't even have to be tzarchei mitzvah. You don't have to say because Simchas Yontif is tzarchei mitzvah, you don't have to be so frum. Tzarchei yom tzas is mutter. Any tzarchei yom tzas is mutter. So the Shaila is, so we have two heterim. You have a heter of Eichel Nefesh and you have a heter of tzarchei yom tzas. Does it make a difference? This is mutter, this is mutter. Is one... Let's say they still the Shammai say there's only one heter Eichel Nefesh. They deny Tzarech Hayom Tzas. The Bisul say there's two heter. There's one heter Achash Yachol Chol Nefesh, and there's a heter Lachem Lachol Tzachech. Does it make an afkemina whether it's a heter, whether it's mutter, whether you're carrying the food into the sukkah, or you're taking the baby for a stroll? So the Ravid, quoted by the Shita Mekubetzis in Ksubis, says yeah, it makes a big difference. He says the difference is, what if it's Evshalasas Mabod Yom? What if you could have done everything on Erev Yontif? So he says, as far as Eichel Nefesh is concerned, that's absolutely Heter Gomer. So even if you could have cooked all the food on Erev Yontif, he claims we'll have to get to the details whether we don't exactly pass him like this, right? But that's how the Rabbi says. Huh? Okay. We'll get to that too. Okay, we'll get to that too. So the Ravid says like this: whatever malacha you're allowed to do, mamish v'eichel nefesh, that you're allowed to do, even if you couldn't have done an erev yontif. This mamish heter gomer. This not included in the yisur at all. But l'tzarcha yom tzat, this heter of the silo that the Bishamai dispute, they hold that it's not true. That heter is based on the pasuk lochem, l'chol tzarchechem, the same pasuk that the other Tana learned that machshir eichel nefesh from, that you're allowed to fix the broken knife and allowed to fix the forks. In the pots and so on, and that heter of lachem, you have a restriction levado. Only if it's ef shalasis mabod yom. If it was ef shalasis mabod yom, there's no heter. So the Rabbi claims there's a fundamental difference. If I could have carried to carry the machzor to shul, to carry the talis to shul, if there's no erev, if there's an erev, there's no malacha at all. You're allowed to carry on Shabbos, but let's say there's no erev. So on Shabbos you're not allowed to carry. The erev fell down. So on Shabbos you're not allowed to carry. On Yontif, why are you allowed to carry the machzor with the talis? It's a tzarach hayom tzas. But if you could have easily carried it on Erev Yontif, then the rabbi holds that there's no heter. Bring your talis to shul on Erev. What do you do on Shabbos? You don't carry talis. You wear the talis. Or you take it on Erev Shabbos, where there's no Erev. So do the same on Yontif, he says. If you could easily avoid using the kula on tzarach hayom tzas, you could have easily taken care of an Erev Yontif, then there's no heter to do on Yontif. But he says, the heter rechal nefesh, that's an absolute heter to cook food. That's absolutely mutter. So he says that even if you could have taken care of Erev Yontif, you don't have to try to avoid it. It's heter gomer. So here there's a discussion in Rishonim commenting on a Mishnah later.
The Ramban also hold this because it's not Malachas Avodo, it's the definition of Avodo.
Right. The Ramban has such a word. Ramban Chumash writes that the lashon that the Chumash uses with respect to the Yisra Malacha on Shabbos and Yontif is different. On Shabbos says you're not allowed to do Malacha. On Yontif it says you're not allowed to do Malacha Savoida. What's the difference? So says, Malacha means Malacha. Anything that's Malacha you're not allowed to do. If you have a Heter, Pikoch Nefesh, you have a Heter. But he says on Yontif it doesn't prohibit Malacha and then say there's a Heter Eichel Nefesh. No! Whatever is Eichel Nefesh is never included in the first place in the prohibition. Only Malacha Savoida. Malacha Savoida means the Malachas are usually the Avodim do. That he usually has to plant the fields and to harvest the stuff and so on. No, more than that. Whatever is normally done, derech sudah,
whatever the balabasta usually does in the kitchen, derech suda, he said that's a chanavish, that's bechlal not called an isa. That's not included in the isa at all. So that's along the lines of this rivet, that the rivet says, oichal nefesh mamish, you don't have to try to avoid it. It's never included in the tradition at all. It's not that you kratz dois, I had to oichal nefesh. It's not a heter. It's not included in the yisr. The definition of the yisr is malachas avoida. As opposed to tzarcha yom tzas, so that's already a heter. So that heter is only if it's yev shalas is mbod yom. Yev shalas mbod yom, you're not allowed. So now the Mishnah has a discussion, a discussion between the Beisham and the Besul. Are you allowed to burn logs on Yontif? This is a fire. And I throw in more logs. Why am I throwing in more wood? Why am I throwing in more logs? If I want to cook some food, that's the Choychal Nefesh. That's Mamash Choychal Nefesh. So how are you allowed to? What if he already finished eating, but it's freezing? He's afraid he's going to catch a cold. Is he allowed to throw in more logs into the fire in order to keep warm? Or do you say, no, get a sweater. No. Don't do a malacha. Who gives you a head to do a malacha? So the Bishamay say you're not allowed to. Bishamay say that you're not allowed to. Echal nefesh means echal nefesh. If it has nothing to do with eating food, it's not echal nefesh. And the Bishil will say that it's mutter. So there's a long rashbo on that Mishnah. My time in the Bishil. Why did the Bishil say it's mutter? Is it because they hold that this is mamash echal nefesh? Maybe they define echal nefesh old tzarchi aguf. Mm-hmm. He wants to keep himself warm. Or let's say you want to cook water, you want to heat up water to wash pan of yad varaglo. He wants to wash his face and his his feet. He wants to wash parts of his body, pan of yad varaglo. So the Bishamai say you're not allowed. Bishamai say you're not allowed. There's not echal nefesh, there's no hetman. The Bishil say it's mutter. So the Rashbo has a long ariches, very long ariches. He shows that there's a machlokes rishonim on that Mishnah. Why did the Bishil say that it is permissible to heat up water to wash pan of yad varaglov, and it's permissible to burn logs to keep the body warm? Is it because this is called, they hold that this is mamash echal nefesh? Or no? Maybe they hold, just like the Shammai say, it's not echal nefesh, Bishil olamaskin. But they hold that it's mitarch, it's a tzarach hayom tzas. What's the difference? Whether it's tzarach hayom tzas or it's echal nefesh mamish, ben kol v'kol it's going to be mutter. No, it's not chapanav kemina, we just said. If it's tzarach hayom tzas, then it's echal nefesh mod yom. So the rabbi holds it's an issa deraisa to do it on yontif. We should have done it on erev yontif. Because the levado is the limitation and the restriction on the lachem. But if you hold it within the Bishil that is mamish, echal nefesh mamish, so then it would be mutter even lachatchila to rely on that. I don't even have to put in so many logs on erev yontif bechlal. Even if I can avoid it, there's absolutely nothing wrong. I can follow the hanis melachatchila. So that's a shaila in halacha. So in that Mishnah, that the Bishil of Shita is recorded, that they say that you are permitted to warm up, we pass them like Bishil. You're permitted to heat up water on Shabbos for the purpose of
on
yontif. Yeah, excuse me. On Shabbos you're not allowed. You're permitted to heat up water on yontif for the purpose of washing pan of yada veraglov. So all the Rishonim say, you can see from the Mishnah very obviously that you're not allowed to heat up water to wash kol gufo. To heat up water to take a shower or bath for the whole body, that's not allowed. Only pan of yada veraglov. So that's the shalom manishtana. What's the difference? If you're allowed to heat up water to wash pan of yada veraglov, however you slice it, however you understand it, whether you understand that it's echal nefesh mamish, because all tzarchi aguf are called echal nefesh, or because you say no, it's a tzarchi yom tzas, whatever the hezber is, but it's mutter to heat up water, either not for eating and drinking purposes, to bathe the body, parts of the body. So mamish tana mixes aguf and kol aguf. That's a kasha that all the Rishonim is. So the Rishonim give two terutzim, and sechap tanaf kemina, what about this manazed, bathing on yontif? So Tosfos claims the following. The Ramban says that the facts are wrong, but Tosfos claims the facts are like this. Bizman HaTanoim, it was not a common practice. The normal people didn't take a bath or a shower. The normal people were yotzei with washing pan of yad v'ragel. Which Mishugoyim took a whole bath and a whole shower? Mufunokim. Istinus. So those crackpots, those mufunokim, that's Dovish Ein HaShava L'chol Nefesh. If people do a malacha just for luxury, so to speak, for luxury.
Yeah.
They went La Hazia, yeah. They went to a
sweat.
I don't know. Tosfos claims that they didn't. It was not common to bathe the whole body. Tosfos claims they went to Schwitz, but not to bathe. So Tosfos claims there is a Gemara in Ksuvos that says that on Yontif, they used to have a practice all year long on the weekdays, not on Shabbos, not on Yontif. They used to have a practice to put at the end of the meal after the benching, they would throw besamim on a fire, and they would burn mugmer. It's called mugmer. And the Gemara says, "Hamaschul mitzvah amun gemara." The one who benched mezumen, the one who was zeichet to bench mezumen, he has this course to say the bracha bari min b'samim, a bari atzib some whatever. When they smell the mugmer, they had to say a special bracha. So the Gemara says, "Ashayla, are you allowed to burn mugmer on Yom Tov? It's a malacha. You're burning the b'samim." So the Gemara says, "No, there's no heta. Aye, but you have hanoah. You have hanoah from that." Maybe you should consider it Echal Nefesh, maybe consider it Tzarcha Yom Tzas, the Gemara says nothing. No. It's also to burn Mugma Yonta B'Tanisa Deraisa, because the Gemara says it's a Dova She'en Hashav L'Echal Nefesh. That's only for Mefunokim. That's only for Mefunokim, normal people, it's not really necessary. And since it's only a luxury, extra luxury, so it's Tanisa Deraisa to do it, and it's learned up in the Pasuk, Acha She'yachal L'Echal Nefesh, Hakti Yadova Hashav L'Echal Nefesh. What about, let's say, you're going to shecht a duck? How many people shecht a duck? Expensive, let's say. Or you're going to shecht a deer. Expensive to catch a deer without killing it. And you're going to cook the deer. So how many people cook duck and how many people cook deer? So it's only for the mefunokim. So you should say that you're not allowed to do it on Yontif. The Gemara says, no. Food is food. The food is food. Fancy food. This kind of food. That's details, but food is food, that's called Echal Nefesh. But this whole thing, the smelling of the burning psalmim, this is a Dov Shein Echal Nefesh, you're not allowed. So Tosfos claims that that's the word regarding bathing. They say that Bizman HaTanayim, it was not a common practice to bathe Kol HaGuf. Hardly anybody did it, only the Mefunokim. So if we heat up water on Yontif in order to take a bath or a shower, that will be Bizman HaTanayim, that will be an Issa Deraisa of doing a Meloch Dov Shein Echal Nefesh. The only thing the Mishnah says you aren't allowed to do is heat up water to wash. Fun of Yadav Araglov. That's normal. Everybody needs that. You don't want to have sticky fingers. You don't want to have a greasy face. You don't want to have smelly feet. They didn't wear shoes and socks. They walked with bare feet. So to wash Pan Yadav Araglov, that's a real tzorach. That's a Dov HaShav L'Chol Nefesh. But to take a bare face's claim is Bezban HaTanayim would have been Osir Minatar because of Dov HaShav L'Chol Nefesh. According to that Tosfos, if that's the Hezber, but then Bizman HaZeh should be Mutter. Everybody takes a beer. Everybody takes a beer. Yeah. This is determined by, yeah, if today it's considered Dov HaShav L'Chol Nefesh, then there's no Shabbos. So according to Tosfos, it's Mutter. So the reason why we don't allow it, the reason why we don't permit taking a hot shower on Yom Tov, on Shabbos, it's an Isur Bishul, because when you turn on the hot water, because you want cold water to get cooked. So you're doing bishul on cold water. These are bishul on Shabbos applies not only if you're cooking water to drink it. If you cook water to make a hot bath, it's also an isur bishul. So on Shabbos, there's nothing to discuss. You're not allowed to take a hot shower. But on Yom Tov, what's wrong? So the Ramban says, no, the reason why you're not allowed to take a hot shower, the Ramban says that it's not true what Tosfos says. He denies that it ever was true. He thinks Bizman HaTanoim also, like you, Bizman HaTanoim also, the normal people took baths on Shabbos, not only for Mefunokim, for Istanisim. He says normal people would take a hot bath and a hot shower. You can't tell me that it's a Dov HaShein Echal L'Chol Nefesh like smelling mugmer. He says it's not true. But he says the reason why the Mishnah implies that it's Aser, that you're only allowed to heat up the water for the purpose of washing Pan Yad of Raglov, is because of the Gzeira de Rabbonim. That the Mishnah Gzeira is HaBalonim. Balonim means the bathhouse attendants. So the bathhouse attendants, how intelligent can they be already? How learned and how religious can they be? If you have a little intelligence, you'd have a better job. If you'd be a little more observant, you'd get a better job. You're not going to be a better. So they weren't so medaktik in mitzvahs. The Jewish balonim were not so frum. So they used to have people come on Shabbos to the bathhouse, to the schwitz or to take a bath or a shower, whatever. So these people, rather than prepare the hot water on Erev Shabbos and see to it that it remains hot all of Shabbos, they would turn on the fire on Shabbos. What should they spend so much money, leave it on from Erev Shabbos? They would turn it on Shabbos, and tell the customers a lie that we left it on from Erev Shabbos and everything was the heter. And there was no way to control this. Well, you're going to have a mashgiach in a mikveh. You're going to have a under supervision.
False.
So they didn't have any way to control. So the Tanaim said you're not allowed to take a hot bath on Shabbos, even if you filled up the hot bath yourself on Erev Shabbos. Even if you filled up the bathtub with hot water on Erev Shabbos, and you know yourself that no malacha was violated, that's exeris habalonim. We prohibit anybody from taking a hot bath or a hot shower on Shabbos, even though he knows the vadois that no malacha was involved, in order to prevent these balonim from violating Shabbos and telling a lie and saying that they didn't violate. So the Ramban claims that exeris habalonim, that prohibition that you're not allowed to take a hot bath or a hot shower on Shabbos, even though it doesn't really make any sense to institute it on Yom Tov, because on Yom Tov he holds mikra, then you're allowed to cook the hot water. It's the davar shavu l'chol nefesh. That's like burning the logs in order to keep the body warm. Why shouldn't it be mutter? So he says, no, that's the gzeres habalonim. We carry.
It's limited to this. No, no, no. The other food that they can go more. They can only go, this is the maximum that they can do.
Oh, so it's only permissible to heat up water on Yom Tov to wash. Pan of Yodav Raglo means a miut of the limbs of the body. But the beta rove of the body, that's already called a bath. What's the chilek between a bath and washing parts of the body? Rove and miut. So if you wash a rove of the body, that's the xeris habalonim, that you're not allowed to do. If you wash a miut of the body, pan of yodav raglov, a little part at a time, so that is not xeris habalonim. So that's what the Ramban writes. So if we would have known that the din is, if we would know the din is like Tosfos, there would be no problem. We would be allowed to take a hot bath today, a hot shower on Yom Tov, because it's today, you have 3 days in a row and people are perspired. Who wait 3 days in a row without, even if there are people who wait 3 days in a row, but you can't say that the others are davar shenishal l'chol nefesh. It's very common. But we're machmer for the Ramban, who says that it's exeris habalonim that you're not allowed to. So in the Shmira Shabbos Kilchotzo, in the second edition, the first edition he didn't go through these dinim. In the second edition that everybody uses now, so he quotes the Mishnah Berurah who has the following kulot. Has the following hetter. Mishnah Berurah doesn't talk about taking showers or taking baths. Mishnah Berurah was written over 100 years ago. 100 years ago, so they didn't take showers and baths every month in the Darmishnik. It wasn't so common. But he talks about going to mikvah. He says if a woman wants to go to mikvah on Yom Tov and the water is freezing cold, so what can you do? Are you allowed to heat up the water on Yom Tov that she shouldn't feel ice cold? So he says, if you went to the Mishnah Berurah, goes to the whole Cheshvan. If we would know that the din is like Tosfos, that it's a matter, that the reason why you're not allowed to heat up water is because of our shovel home, the woman wants to go to mikveh. What do you want? That's not a luxury. And it's ice cold water. Who wants to go to table on ice cold water? So then we would know it would be mutter. But because the Ramban holds as Xeris HaBalon, so we have a problem, so what can we do? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Sefer Beis Meir, who says like this, if you heat up water, if you heat up water and pour it into the mikveh, just to take out the chill, that the water should not even be, the water shouldn't be hot, the water shouldn't even be lukewarm, just enough hot water to take out the chill, so he says that would be mutter. There's no xeris habalonim on that. Xeris habalonim is only if the person bathes in hot water. And if he bathes in warm water, that's a shaila. How hot does the water have to be? But if the only degree of the heat is that you put in a little hot, you mixed in hot water with the cold water just enough to take out the chill, that it shouldn't be freezing, then the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Beis Meir, that's zichamuta. There's no xeris habalonim over there. So under these circumstances, you're covered both for Shitas Tosfos and for Shitas Ramban. According to Tosfos, it's v'chal no problems. She can even take a shower. And we're choshish for the Ramban that there is the xeris habalonim on Yom Tov also. We'll see, we'll get, there's a Gemara that seems to say like the Ramban, that even though it doesn't make sense to make the Gzeira on Yom Tov, nonetheless, we carry over all the Gzeiras from Shabbos, are carried over to Yom Tov, even though it doesn't really make sense. So even though we're Choshish Takif for the Ramban, that there is Gzeiras HaBalonim on Yom Tov, like on Shabbos, that you're not allowed to take a hot bath or a hot shower, but if the person is really perspired, so we say he's allowed to turn on, allowed to take a cold shower, if you can take a cold shower, take a cold shower. Don't take a hot shower. But if it finds it very uncomfortable, we would be makel to turn on the hot water just slightly to the extent to take out the chill. So then there's no violation of xeris habalonim. Mikvahs are burning hot. Hamikvahs are hot. So that's the shaila. What's the het on Shabbos and Yom Tov? What happened to the gzeres habalonim? So there was taka a big shaila about that. The Balatanya was one of the first who was makel. And the Balatanya said, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, and if they quote in the biographies, he said, if he goes to Gan Eden, it'll be for three things. And that was one, not for writing the Tanya. He said, for writing the Shulchan Aruch, and for the Heter, for the Hat Mikveh, I forgot the third one already. For writing his Shulchan Aruch, he thought that was Givaldic. And for the Heter of the Hat Mikveh, and I forgot the third one already. So it's printed in the biographies. And others that have the hat cooler. So the Balatanya has a shveri cooler. He has a shveri cooler. He says the reason it's in the Kuntra Sachrin to Orachim in the end. So he says that the Gzeres Habalonim. When do the women go to Mikra on Friday night? They go right away when the husbands are davening in shul. They don't wait till after benching and then go at 12 o'clock at night. Usually they don't. Usually they go right away when everybody's davening in shul, so the women go to Mikra, and the whole Mikra is burning hot. So if they would have done it's just mamash after Tzeisav Kachavim. Just mamash after Tzeisav Kachavim. So it's obvious that the mikveh was heated up before, very much mevol yom. So tutu fachidish that the ki hagav there is no gzeres habalon. Because since it's obvious that the whole mikveh was heated up in mevol yom, so since the reason for the gzeres doesn't apply, the gzeres doesn't apply. The very questionable heta. Usually they say over the heta differently. The Avnei Nezer and others say over this also. The Avnei Nezer says a different word. Gzeres Habalonim is a prohibition if you take a shower or a bath. What are you doing in the shower? You just walk in, you walk out. No, you stay there for a while. That the hot water should clean off all the dirt. And the mikveh, the people just go in and they go out. That's it. 1 second, finish. So if you just go in and go out, that's not called Rechitza Bechamen. That's Tvila Bechamen. Tvila Bechamen, they will never go. The Rechitza Bechamen means you stay there. What's the shear? 20 minutes is zichar asa. 15 minutes is stam also asa. Where do you draw the line? 5 minutes is asa. I don't know. Where do you draw the line? But if a person just goes in and goes out of the mikveh, that's for sure not called rechitza b'cham. That's just tefila b'cham. Tefila b'cham, they never asa. That's the Avnei Nezer.
What's that guy doing?
Balonim. No, the original Gzeira that the Tanaim instituted was because they were afraid they asked Mechitza Bechamen. You're not allowed to do Mechitza Bechamen because of these bathhouse attendants who were not so medactic. That they never asked. They only asked Mechitza, so the definition. No, because that story, what used to happen was the people used to do Mechitza Bechamen. They used to do Zeya, they used to do Lahaziyah, they used to sit in the Schwitz for an hour. Or they used to do Rechitza Bechamen according to the Rambam. They did Rechitza Bechamen. But just Tvila Bechamen, that was never involved in the issue.
Whenever they took the Rukhats
in the Torah, it means they took it. Yeah. Lashon Torah Luchud, Lashon Chachamim Luchud. When the Chachamim were Goyze, that's what the Achim said. When the Chachamim were Goyze, Rechitza Bechamen, don't say it's rechitza. If you do rechitza for some significant amount of time, but just to go in and to go out, that's not included in the Lashon Torah. It's included. That's what it means rechitza. But in the Lashon HaChachamim is not.
How did
they had an Erev.
Yeah,
you have to have an Erev. You don't have an Erev.
They used to bring the Lulavim before.
Yerushalayim, the Pashas said Yerushalayim had an Erev.
Right.
Most of the Rishonim assume, Rashi and Tosis, and everybody assumes that in Yerushalayim there was an Erev. There's a Mishnah on the last Perek in Erevin that speaks about a problem. How can they carry in Yerushalayim? There was a shopkeeper who had a problem. He had to carry his keys. He used to leave the key on top. He used to open the door and put the key back up like you do when you have no Erev. The Rashi and Tosis says, what's the problem? The Gemara is Mashma, they had an Erev in the Yerushalayim. So why was the problem? The Rashi and Tosis answered, the Erev fell down. That Mishnah goes, that year the Erev fell down. They weren't able to fix the Erev. But on that Mishnah, the Baal HaMor quotes from the Rabbeinu Ephraim, that's an unknown figure. Baal HaMor quotes from Rabbeinu Ephraim, no, you see from the Mishnah that there never was an Erev in Yerushalayim. There never was an Erev in Yerushalayim.
children were closed at night.
The Gemara says it's not for the fact that the gates were locked at night. It would have been an Issa Deraisa to carry in Yerushalayim. So now that the gates were locked at night, so there's no Issa Deraisa. Period. So Rashi and Taisa say so. Therefore, you can make an Erev. If it would have been an Issa Deraisa, you wouldn't be able to make an Erev based on a technical reason. Now that it's only the Rabbanon, you are allowed to make an Erev. So the Rabbanon says it doesn't say that. It just says if the gates would have not been locked at night, they would have been Issa Deraisa. Now that the gates of Yerushalayim are locked at night, so there's no Issa Deraisa, period. But they still never made an Erev. That's what he claims. We know today that there is an Erev in Yerushalayim. Everybody. The Aguda has their own Erev, and Badatz has their own Erev, and the Rabbanon has, but everybody carries in the Erev in Yerushalayim. That's why it's very difficult. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein made an Issa not to make an Erev in Manhattan, because he holds like the Aben Ephraim. What do you mean you hold like the Aben Ephraim? But nobody holds like the Aben Ephraim. Everybody carries in Yerushalayim there. Chatella. Rabbi Moshe gave his own interpretation, gave his own reason, and it goes in his machma for the Gan Tzedot, that you're not allowed to make an Erev in any central metropolis.
But it's not all the time.
The Gemara gives a different reason why it wasn't the Rishus HaRabim, not because of the Shishim. The Gemara says because they locked the gates at night, so that canceled.
We're in one place.
No. The gates were locked. If you have 600,000 people in a building, the building is the Rishus HaYachid. If you have 600,000 people in this room, it's a Rishus HaYachid. You have walls around it. The topic of 600,000, if you have streets that have no walls, you have Shishim Ribos, so then it's the Rishus HaRabim, the Raisa. Unless would be the Rabban. Anyway, I already forgot what the Sikhta we learning. So let's go back again. The Machlokes, we started the Machlokes, Beishamai Bethilo. So the Beishamai say, what's the difference between the eggs that are laid by the hand on Yontif, the eggs that are laid by the hand on Erev Yontif? An egg is an egg. An egg, what's wrong with an egg? So why you not Teyachal? Bistul say, Beshama say you're permitted to eat the egg. And we pass for like the Bistul, you're not allowed to eat the egg, the Beitzah Shenol Debiyantah. The Gemara says, my time is the Beisila. What's wrong with the Beitzah Shenol Debiyantah? So the Gemara gives four reasons. So last week we spent time on the first Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, it's an issue of Muktzah. Where is it? That's we pass in Hachon, we pass in Rabbah's time. We're not going to pass like Rav Nachman. But the first Hezbe is Rav Nachman. What has it got to do with Muktzah? What Muktzah and when Muktzah? So he says, there are two kinds of hens. Sometimes they have egg farms. Many people have egg farms. They don't plan to shech those hens. They want the hens to lay eggs, potato, every day, every other day, and they're going to sell the eggs. When the hen will reach an old age, maybe there's some shonen, the hen is no longer able to manufacture and produce eggs, then we'll be holding by shechting the hen. But we're holding, when it's a tanagelos hamedis legadol beitzim, you're not interested in shechting the hen, then the hen is not considered an oikol. Then the hen itself is muktzah on Yontif. The hen is muktzah. What's the din of live animals on Yontif? Live animals on Shabbos on muktzah. What about live animals on Yontif? So it depends. If I plan to shecht this chicken on Yontif, so it's not muktzah. The Mishnah is talking about shechting chickens and shechting behemoths on Yontif. But if I have other animals on Yontif that I don't plan to shecht on Yontif, then it is muktzah. It's a cat, a dog. That mom, she can't shecht it, so that's not called eichel. But even if it is a chicken, even if it is a behemoth that you could shecht, but I don't plan to shecht an onion. But it's a tanagelis avedis legadol beitzim. Then it's not called eichel. Then the tanagelis itself is muktzah. So the Gemara starts off like this: if it would be a tanagelis avedis la'achila, I plan to shecht the hen, and then the hen lays an egg on Yontif. So it's uchle difros. This is eichel and this is eichel. That's like taking a challah and slicing the challah. What? It becomes an extension of the original eichel, even though the hen was fleshig and the egg is part of it. But it's still eichel shenifred mechaveira. That's not called mukta. That doesn't pose a problem. We're talking over here. Rav Nachman claims. We're talking over here. Time ago, the son medes legadol beitzim. So the mother is dachmamish mukta because it's not aim lachila. Then the mother lays eggs, and the eggs are meichel. The eggs are eggs. The eggs are eichel. But that's called neilat. That's called neilat. Originally, the whole thing was a hen. True, the egg is inside the hen. It doesn't come yesh miayin. But on Erev Yontif, I judge on the whole unit. So the whole thing was a hen. The whole thing was muktzah, not ayin b'lachilo. Then in the middle of Yontif, the hen lays the egg. So a non-oichel just converted to become an oichel. So that's an issue of muktzah. So that's a machlokes, Reb Yudah, Reb Shimon, whether there is a din of muktzah or not. Not that they argue whether there is a din of muktzah in general. Of course, everybody's masking. If you have eitz ma'avan of the offer, it's going to be muktzah. If you have junk, if you have garbage, usually garbage. Eggshells is muktzah, and broken glass is muktzah, and pebbles are muktzah, twigs are muktzah, anything that has no ishtamshus is a piece of junk, so it's muktzah.
The broken glass may have to remove as a matter of danger.
Right. Yeah, so sometimes you have a hetter to be metal to muktzah, the mokum sakana. Right. If it's mokum tsar, mokum sakana, you have a hetter. So the Gemara does mean to say that there's a machlokes hatanaim where they hold for muktzah bichlal. About it is a din of muktzah. The Gemara says that in the days of Shlomo HaMelech, when David HaMelech died, the Gemara says he died on Shabbos. The Gemara Masechet Shabbos, he died on Shabbos, and he was mutal b'chama. And Shlomo HaMelech asked the shaila from the Rabbonim, how can you move a dead body? Is that muktzah? Because it's not. We said Adam Mekelem Ochum Amashkim, a dead Adam and Nishkin Adam. A dead person is a mace. A mace is a mukta. So you had already in the days of David HaMelech, Shlomo HaMelech, there was already an issue of mukta. So everybody's masking that there's a din. A dead body is mukta. It's my bottom of the offer is mukta. It's a special machlokes satanim over here. This thing is, it's an egg. It's Michael. But in the beginning of Shabbos, beginning of Yontav, it wasn't a Michael. Beginning of Yontav, it was part of a Balchai, which was not a Emid Lachilo. So it's a Tanagel, the Tanagel, the Gabal Beitzim was not. Oichel. All of a sudden, middle of Yontif, it's a Noilot, it became an Oichel. So that's a Machlokes HaTanaim, whether that's Muktzah or not. So the Gemara says, oh, Machlokes B'Shamer B'Silel is the same Machlokes Rabbi Yudah Reb Shimon. Rabbi Yudah Reb Shimon were way later. But they were after the Churban Bayis Sheni. B'Shamer B'Silel were earlier. So the Gemara says the Machlokes Rabbi Yudah Reb Shimon is identical Machlokes B'Shamer B'Silel. Then the Gemara asks, but just a minute. We have such a Machlokes B'Shamer B'Silel and Shabbos. That's tak identical with the machlekes of Yudah Reb Shimon. What's the case there? We had and it's opposite there. The machlekes is you had chicken on Erev Shabbos. You have chicken on Erev Shabbos, so it's Michael Adam. Then after you finish eating all the chicken, you leave no chicken on the bones. If you still leave chicken on the bones, it's still Michael Adam. So it's Michael Adam, and it's still Michael Adam. So that's not mukta. But if you ate up all the chicken on the bones, and all you have left are the bones, and now it became Michael Behemah, you can feed it to the clothing. So what you have is Michael Adam Shinishtan Aliyah's Michael Behemah. So the Gemara says that's also a machlokes B'Sham and B'Silo and Masechet Shabbos. And the Gemara says that also depends on the machlokes of Yudah Reb Shimon. That's the machlokes whether this is called Muktzanat. And over there, all of a sudden, the Shitas of Hakert, it's Lehepach, that the B'Silo are the ones who are Machna here, and they're the B'Silo that are Mekel. They're the B'Silo that's Mekel. B'Silo holds like Reb Shimon. And Nachman says that the Mishnah in Shabbos says about 10 lines from the bottom. Magbim yalo shulchan atzomus el klipin. The way it says in the Mishnah, Beisham I permit you to be metaltal the atzomus el klipin, the bones or the shells that are Michael Behema that started off as Michael Od and now it's Michael Behema, and the Beisil alarmim you're not allowed to. Beisil hold that it's muktzah. So the Mishnah in Shabbos presents it the same as over here. The Beisil hold from the din of muktzah, and the B'Shamer don't hold from the din of muktzah. But this mandamer Rav Nachman said, no, there's a misprint over there. There's a Torah cipher. You have to correct the gears in the Mishnah Masechet Shabbos. The Omer Rav Nachman commented on that Mishnah. Onu ein lonu.